This is the Senate Committee on Judiciary. We're meeting on April 8, 1987 at 5 o'clock p.m. in hearing room 343. This will be an informational meeting with Doug Haldane speaking on rules promulgated by the Council on Court Procedures and a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bills 318, 490, 518, 689, 756, 783, 860, and 874.
Senate Committee on Judiciary will come to order at 5:08 p.m. First bill, which will come before the subcommittee you see sitting here, which will take testimony, will be 874. If I don't have a witness come in that door in about 10 seconds, it's going to get put at the bottom of the list. All right, Senate Bill 874.
Sheriff Brooks is here on that one.
Okay, and we got Jack Dolan, Brian Riley, David Burks, Paget Ingen, and let's see, okay, either Sheriff Dolan or Sheriff Burks or both of you together, or any other proponents that want to come up on this. In addition to just a minute, let me Jack, Dave, why don't you let Senator Trogue come on up here? And he's got another thing to go to, so we'll have him testify first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
This is living proof, Senator Trogue, that the Judiciary Committee has one very, very active member on it.
I believe that, sir. I run committees that way sometimes myself. Mr. Chair, I'm here asking you to give consideration to Senate Bill 874. I'm one of the sponsors of the measure. This bill addresses an inequity in financial responsibility for housing of municipal court prisoners in county jails. An Attorney General Opinion OP-5662, dated July 31, 1984, held that counties could utilize Oregon revised statutes for most misdemeanors rather than city ordinances and then route cases through municipal court and thereby collect the entire fine levied. Cities can then, in the absence of a prior agreement, avoid having to pay the county for housing the prisoner. The purpose of Senate Bill 874 in addressing this inequity is to make cities responsible for the cost of imprisoning persons rooted through a city court. Cities can either operate their own jail facility or contract with another party for the service. Mr. Chairperson and members of the committee, Senator Hill, I believe this is a good measure worthy of your support, and thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Senator.
Chair.
Any questions, Senator Hill?
This is a good bill.
No questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Jack and David, come back up here again now. Tell us who you are and go ahead.
I'm Jack Dolan, Sheriff of Benton County. Senator Frye, members of the committee, the issue is municipal prisoners in county correctional facilities on ordinance charges. And until a recent Attorney General's opinion, we didn't have a problem. But the Attorney General's opinion stated that if city ordinances were a codification of a state law, then the city could opt out of paying for housing that municipal court prisoner in a county correctional facility. And so the action of several cities was to do exactly that, house them in county correctional facilities and run them through the municipal court, collect 100% of any fine levied, and then, of course, try to avoid for paying for prisoner care.
Well, now, just a moment. A person that's sentenced in the Corvallis Municipal Court serves the sentence where, if it's a violation of city ordinance?
In Benton County, the county is the only correctional facility.
All right, now, are you saying that the city of Corvallis doesn't contribute anything to you to house that prisoner?
They tried to, but we've been in negotiations for over a year in our contract, and we refused to budge.
Well, I know, but I mean, you're not saying that the city of Corvallis doesn't have any obligation to pay for your housing as prisoners, are you?
Municipal court prisoners under state law, yes, we feel they have a responsibility. They, as a result of the Attorney General's opinion, said, no, we don't have any obligation to pay because we've taken the state statutes, codified them into an ordinance. We cite them into municipal court, collect the fines, you house them, and we don't have to pay you anything. That was their contention based on the Attorney General's opinion. Before that, they'd always had a contract with us. They'd always paid. And frankly, we have not budged from that position in our county. And in terms of our county, it amounts to almost 10%, well, not quite 10% of our budget. It's $41,000, which goes to support county correctional operation. I think there's another ramification to this, and I can clearly state from the intent of the bill was drafted, if cities and counties wanted to enter into political arrangements, there's nothing that was our intent in this bill to preclude that from happening. I personally tend to disagree philosophically with it, but if they wanted to do that, if the county and the city wanted to enter an agreement where the county, for any one of a number of reasons, would not charge cities, nothing to preclude them from doing that in this bill. But I think there is something that frankly has ramifications beyond that, and I'll use our own county to illustrate a point. In 1971, when I became sheriff, we charged the cities $2 a day for housing prisoners. It was common practice to lock up a person for failure to buy a bicycle license because it was cheap. Only in recent years, shoplifters were locked up, who were usually college students, because it was still cheap to lock up a shoplifter. It was only when we raised the price to $35 a day that the city decided it was not feasible to lock up pre-trial Oregon State students who are shoplifters. So I think there are some considerations that go beyond just charging for these prisoners. Cities make some responsible social decisions that not only is it not economical to use that space, but also it probably doesn't make much sense sociologically as well. So there is nothing in our bill that would preclude cities and counties for any reason whatsoever of making a decision to not charge for their services.
Okay, now the present statute reads that if a person is sentenced for violation of an ordinance, if the city ordinance prescribes imprisonment or the sentence be carried out in the county jail, and that's your situation, then the expense of imprisonment shall be a charge in favor of the county and against the city. That's the present law.
The exception to that is the Attorney General's opinion. The Attorney General's opinion ruled that if a city had taken a state statute and just codified it into an ordinance, then they didn't have to pay. That was the Attorney General's opinion. And of course, that was contrary to previous practice.
Well, when was this opinion rendered?
About 2 years ago, I believe.
That's right.
Is that's not my
not in your file. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I just got this copy of this afternoon, and I haven't had a chance to read it myself. I'll be glad to provide it to any committee members who want it.
Only one county in the state that I know of that specifically would not be affected. This is Multnomah County, and that they have no municipal court in Multnomah County. And there are still a few counties that are holding to previous past practice of charging cities, but it took us a year to negotiate a contract with the city of Corvallis and Philomath, primarily because of this Attorney General's opinion.
Well, I don't understand how a city court can sentence someone for violation of a state law.
Yeah,
if it's codified into an ordinance, for example, traditionally now in Corvallis, DUIs are all run through municipal court. And, of course, the sentence is a sentence into our county correctional facility. It's
well, I know, but it's a violation of the city ordinance that incorporates the statute that, that the person is sentenced for, isn't it? I mean, there may be a parallel city ordinance, but the fact of the matter is that a municipal court wouldn't have any jurisdiction to sentence a person under a state statute. And I mean, that used to be the way the thing ran. Has it changed or something in the last 20 years?
That was the net effect of the Attorney General's opinion in cities' move to codify their ordinance in such a way that they could avoid paying for the municipal court for the costs for housing and county facilities. That is exactly what took place after the Attorney General's opinion.
Okay.
The as I said, I think, you know, there's more to this than just the cost alone. If cities have the option of using our facilities totally free, then the problems that we're experiencing in this state in terms of crowding will be even worse. Now, I'm one of the few places that's not under court order in terms of crowding, but I think one of the things that's also helped is not only charging for municipal court prisoners and cities then making responsible decisions, but, of course, cooperation with our cities as well. But there are 24 counties now, I understand, that are under some sort of court order. And I think that that's this also has speaks to that as well. I think that in terms of legislation, that it's reasonable, it's fair, and it probably simply goes back to institute the practices that were in existence when you, Chairman Fry, were in office. And I'm sure quite clearly understand the practices that existed in those days.
Okay.
Do you have any questions?
Any questions, Sheriff Dolan? All right. Dave, did you have anything to add?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Sheriff Burks, and I'm representing the Oregon State Sheriff's Association as well as Lane County in this regard in support of Senate Bill 874. We feel this is an issue of fairness and equity. And we want to make it very clear up front that the intent of this bill and the intent of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association was never to interfere in local matters that could be negotiated out between a city and a county. And if a board of county commissioners wanted to give free jail space to a city, we certainly don't have any problem with it. But with 36 counties, there certainly are about 36 at least different problems. To relate it to Lane County, I would just like to tell you that back to your time, Senator Fry, Chairman Fry, when you were prosecutor, the city paid for the prisoners that were committed from the city municipal courts. And that was the case even when, of course, the city at that time was running its own jail and the county was contracting with them. In 1973, that reversed and the county took over its obligation of running the county jail. And the city of Eugene and Springfield and other cities, municipalities, contracted with Lane County and paid a per diem cost for every prisoner. And back in those days, it wasn't all that much per day, as Sheriff Dolan had indicated. However, unfortunately, the cost of incarceration and attempting to have a constitutional facility today costs an awful lot of money. We're talking about not only meeting the state mandates, but we're also talking about the court case law that requires us to provide a certain level of services to the inmates, and sometimes that's very expensive, particularly when you have to hospitalize an inmate or provide the dental and medical services that is required today. So the cost has ballooned, there's no question about that. But nevertheless, up until this current fiscal year in our county, or I should say actually it was back about 3 years ago, a small city decided they didn't think they should have to pay. And so they sought the Attorney General's opinion. I'm sorry to say this, the problem came out of Lane County. And the Attorney General's opinion changed everything, and our county council now says, according to the Attorney General's opinion, contrary to the layman's reading of the law, that they are not required to pay for the people that they sentence to the institution that parallels the state law. In other words, if they codify a state law into their ordinance. And so the cities have taken to do that. We had no problem up until this year, this fiscal year in which we're under negotiation with the City of Springfield and Eugene. They're indicating strongly they have no desire to pay, and because of the Attorney General's opinion, in all likelihood, they will not pay. The problem with that is that is $400,000 per year in Lane County's case in expected revenue that we have and would expect to have on an annual basis. I think that Sheriff Dolan makes an excellent point on controlling intake. Prior to our court order in which it capped our facility, we had a difficult time with some cities instituting any controls on the intake of prisoners until they realized how much it was costing them to keep each one of those prisoners per day. And so I think to return the law to what it was would cause some form of control to occur in those instances. We think the bill as proposed is fair if it can be clarified to make it very clear that the city and county can reach an agreement where the board gives it to them or sells it to them for a reduced price or whatever, that's all right with us. But we believe in those that the state law should clearly state that it is the city's obligation, particularly when they're receiving 100% of the fine, because they could send those same people through district court and they would only get 50% of the fine, and then it would be the county's obligation. So we think that this is fair legislation. We urge its passage. Thank you.
Any questions of Sheriff Burks? Okay, thanks, gentlemen. Chief Riley? Let's see. Yes, Senator Brockman.
Did I gather that Portland's the only city that doesn't have a municipal court?
Yes, I mean, that's right. Portland.
I mean, any city of any significant size.
That's right. Go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Brian Riley, and I'm Chief of Police for the City of Salem. I'm here today on behalf of the City of Salem and the Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police. She's passing out now a typed sheet of my testimony for your consideration. Senate Bill 874, as currently written, cannot be supported by the City of Salem or the Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police. Our objection is that this proposed legislation requires that cities are responsible for the costs of imprisoning persons sentenced to imprisonment by the municipal court of the city or detained pending appearance before the municipal court, regardless of whether the sentence or detention results from a violation of municipal ordinance or state law. Currently in Oregon, and my point is this, currently in Oregon there exists agreements whereby counties are not charging cities for that service for varying reasons. And it is our position that this decision should remain at the local level. We anticipate that this legislation could cost the City of Salem, when bed space becomes available in the soon-to-be-constructed Marion County facility, as much as $182,500 in 1 year, based on an estimated rate of $50 per prisoner day and 10 prisoners per day. We use Salem's estimated cost as an example of the possible impact to one city, suggesting it will cost cities hundreds of thousands of dollars throughout Oregon. We would not object if the language was changed to allow permissive contracting between cities and counties for jail services, and suggest again that this decision should be left at the local level, not mandated. And that concludes my testimony.
All right. Now, does the City of Salem have a city facility?
No.
So what happens if somebody gets a month in jail from the city judge and you go over there to the jail with the prisoner and the sheriff of Marion County says you won't take the prisoner in?
We haven't had a municipal offender in the county jail, Marion County, for 3 years because of lack of bed space, which is one of the major reasons for the construction of a new facility. And the agreement reached in the construction of that new facility with all cities in Marion County, that there would be a lodging of prisoners based on risk, and city municipal prisoners would be lodged at no cost based on a priority system agreed upon by all of the parties.
I guess I should have asked the sheriff when they were up here, but I mean, does the sheriff have some obligation to house a city prisoner without some agreement? Dave, do you know the answer to that question? Or Jack, either one of them? We don't have a city jail in Eugene anymore, do we?
Mr. Chairman, Sheriff Brooks, for the record, no, we do not, but I believe there is, via the Attorney General's opinion, an obligation to house those people. That's my understanding of the interpretation of that opinion.
Well, we just got the opinion, and of course I haven't read it, and I guess the other committee members haven't read it, so we better take a look at it. I don't know how that system could work, how the county could be obligated, absent an agreement, to house a city prisoner, but we'll find out. Maybe that's what the law is. Okay, any questions of Chief Ryan? Yes, Senator Hamby.
Is there any county that has reached an agreement similar to what you currently have? Are there has this AG's decision impacted every single county? Are there any counties at all that have similar agreements?
My understanding there are, yes. I believe Clackamas County has a similar agreement to what Marion County has. And I can't specifically address any others. It varies throughout the state.
Chairman?
Yes, Senator Brenneman.
I'd like to ask the sheriff who pays the cost of his department in Lane County.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Brenneman, that is a complicated issue, and we probably could get into a long discussion about dual taxation and those issues, or alleged dual taxation. But in our case, the general fund, the tax base of Lane County, is just over $5 million. The cost of running the jail in Lane County alone, just the jail, nothing else, costs over $6 million per year. And so you could say that certainly that the citizens of the cities contribute towards that tax base, and whatever pro ratio would certainly go to affect the jail. But the county's general fund budget of their discretionary money is $24 million, and they get in Lane County, the majority of their revenue comes from the ONC timber revenues and liquor taxes and gas taxes and cigarette tax refunds from the state of Oregon.
Wouldn't you agree, though, the county residents sitting, living within, residing within the city then would pay twice under this proposal?
No, I would, Senator Brenneman, I would not, because they collect the excess fine money that you wouldn't get if you run it through the county courts. In other words, they get 100% of the money, so it goes back not directly to them, certainly, but to their city coffers for those residents of incorporated cities. Whereas they run that very same charge through the district court, they only get back 50% of the cost.
But they also provide additional police within city boundaries to offer extra coverage for the entire county.
They do that at their own desire, sir. Some of them do, not all of them. Certainly the larger cities do.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
The chief.
Do you have a question to the chief? Senator Brenneman.
Are there instances that you know of the city of Salem providing services that are open to the entire citizens of the county, in which they're paid for by only with those people residing within the city? You go beyond your boundaries in police work sometimes?
Yes, we do, in a mutual aid agreement, which would be common assistance provided either to the sheriff and or the Oregon State Police in areas surrounding our city, in some cases other cities based on a specific request, particularly in this area of narcotics investigations and hazardous devices, which we have the only municipal bomb squad in the area.
Is the library city or county?
It's a regional library under city jurisdiction.
Do you know if county residents pay a levy to a countywide levy to help defray the costs on the operation of the library?
Specifically, I don't know.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Senator Hill.
Mr. Chairman, is an attorney general's opinion binding on the counties and cities?
Well, it's not binding, it's not binding, except that if a city operates, or a county, or any government operates contrary to attorney general's opinion, it may jeopardize itself in terms of legal claims, and it's protected if it follows the advice of the Attorney General.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, now, Padgett, Ingham, and Larry Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Padgett Engen. I'm here on behalf of the League of Oregon Cities today. With me is Larry Shaw, also representing cities and specifically as the city attorney for St. Helens. First, I'd like to give you a general idea of the universe of organizations that would be affected by anything the legislature does in this arena. There are 242 incorporated cities in the state of Oregon. No one knows if Rajneeshpuram's charter has been picked up yet, but we're not counting them anymore at any rate. Approximately 60 of those cities have no municipal court and no police department. There are about 140 cities that have both of those things, and then there are another 20 of each who either have only a police person or only a muni court operation, but not both. So it's really about 140 cities that are affected. As previous witnesses said, the city of Portland does not run a municipal court, so that takes sort of our major city out of the negotiations that go on over this issue as time goes by. There are a wide, wide range of local agreements about how to pay for not only jail costs, that is the cost of prisoners in the jails, but other portions of the criminal justice systems at the local level. And anything the legislature does will upset the balance somewhere. Counties have for a long time been concerned, as they've described today, about what they consider to be the opportunity for cities to be irresponsible about what kind of people go into the jail system, and cities have been concerned about the fact that we can't control what the jail program looks like or how much it costs, and that there is an incredible range in cost per prisoner day throughout the state. But by and large, the agreements have been worked out. I am not saying that everybody is in agreement all over the state about what should happen. There are some places where coming to a local agreement has been very difficult. But as I said, by and large, they're pretty much there, and we see no reason for the legislature to interfere in that negotiating balance, which is exactly what the bill does. It doesn't say that cities have to pay every time any more than the AG's opinion says cities don't ever have to pay. But what it does is interfere in the local negotiating balance about how we get the criminal justice system paid for. In Grants Pass, for example, the city of Grants Pass built some courtroom space in exchange for an agreement about how the prisoners get taken care of in that community. In Prineville, in Crook County, Prineville runs the jail and pays utilities and various administrative pieces, but the county really pays for most of the support of running the jail. There are dozens and dozens of these variations, and I would hope that you would think very carefully before you change the current situation and how those negotiations are done. Larry, did you want to jump in here?
My name is Larry Shaw. I'm the city attorney for St. Helens, which is the county seat of Columbia County. And I think the reason I've been called here is to give an example of a unique small county city situation that indicates how unique it is probably in every circumstance. Columbia County is one of the poorest counties, and the sheriff's the number of sheriffs on the road is very, very small with budget cutbacks. As their forest receipts go up and down, and they have other problems. And so the city police in each of the five cities in the county, and St. Helens being the largest, have to back up the sheriff on a regular basis. And that is part of an informal agreement that is not written, whereby the cities continue to pay with a cost of living increase factor a small amount for the use of the county jail for city prisoners, and that has now increased to be about half or slightly less than half of what the sheriff estimates to be his actual cost. And in a small county like this, you're really talking about upsetting the whole way misdemeanors get handled. In larger cities, and in Eugene, for example, they used to be at least, primarily concerned with DUIs and traffic cases and getting the fine money from them, as the sheriff so aptly put, getting that 100% fine money. The situation has changed over the years, and I believe everyone read in the Oregonian a few years ago when Clackamas County, the district attorney, started not prosecuting shoplifting and other misdemeanors. That situation has been a specter in Columbia County for 10 or 15 years. And the way that gap has been filled is by municipal courts. And so the municipal courts in all five cities in the county handle most of the misdemeanors instead of district court handling them. That reduces the impact on the district attorney's deputies and the support services there. It reduces the impact on the state's indigent defense services, because the city is picking that up as part of its cost. And the reason the cities do that is so that the system won't break down, so that when their officers pinch somebody for misdemeanors, they don't get washed aside in the larger priorities for felonies that are in the district attorney's office. And within the district attorney's office, that's a justifiable priority. So the system has really grown up over a number of years, and you have the cities handling a – I was going to bring a graphic example of it and show you the size of municipal court docket in the city of St. Helens and compare it to the district court docket. The district court doesn't print theirs anymore, but they're almost the same. The district court in the whole county handles a similar amount, just slightly more, than the city handles in its city court. So we handle all misdemeanors, assaults,